Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, the third chapter. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Please be seated. The name Jesus means Yahweh saves. And while God's people of the Old Testament didn't know exactly who Jesus was, they knew the Lord's promise. The entire Old Testament points to Jesus. When hard-hearted Pharaoh refused to let his people go, Yahweh saved them by sending a plague, killing all the firstborn in Egypt. But on that first Passover night, by the shedding of the blood of a sacrificial lamb, the firstborn of the Israelites would be saved from death into life. This Passover lamb foreshadows Christ Jesus, the sacrificial lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world, who comes redeeming all mankind from death back into life. And in remembrance of that bloody night, God claimed all of Israel's firstborn as his own in his ceremonial law. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Consecration is a puzzling word sometimes, but to consecrate means to set apart. That word is used in verse 12 of our Old Testament text. And it means that the consecrated item or person has been set apart from everyday use and to be used exclusively and dedicated to holy and sacred use. By consecrating the firstborn, the Lord is helping the people to remember their salvation that he won for them, leading them out of Egypt. He is giving them a living reminder in each and every household that God set his people apart. They were to be different from the nations, but they were to be set apart, loving him and trusting him above all things. In our gospel text, we see Mary and Joseph following the ceremonial law, coming to the temple to fulfill what they were commanded to do. But you know, our Christian church no longer performs these ceremonies because Christ Jesus has come for you. For unto you a Savior is born. He was born for you regardless of what you look like, regardless of your political affiliation, your credit score, or what you may or may have not done. Christ Jesus is born unto you, putting on the flesh of a human, putting on human weakness, taking the form of a servant, fulfilling all of God's law and the prophets to consecrate you, to redeem you back from death into life. He is your true Passover lamb who left the glory of heaven and clothed himself with all of your filthy rags, your guilt and your sin, and put them to death on the cross so that you in turn might be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Jesus came so that you might be set apart and live as his holy people. Now, for most of us, this action happened in our baptism. Jesus instituted the waters of holy baptism as the means for setting his people apart. He set you apart and called you his own child. He washed away those old filthy rags and clothes you with Christ's righteousness. Before baptism, you were unfit to come before the Lord in your shame and sin. But because Jesus has offered himself as the perfect sacrifice, that once for all sacrifice, in baptismal waters, God has purified you of your sin, and he has consecrated you to life, making you his own child. And this is exactly the point that St. Paul is trying to make to the Christians living in Colossae in our epistle text. There were many false teachers among them, teaching doctrines that caused them to lose their freedom that Christ had won on the cross. And they were also teaching doctrines that allowed them to live lives contrary to God's will. And unfortunately, many of those same heresies exist today and still exist in the church. We have Christians who wish to live in both worlds. They want to have one foot living as the new man in Christ, while their other foot and hand is holding on to that old Adam. And that is not a God-pleasing life, as the verses prior to our epistle text, Paul claims. Not that your words and your deeds count anything towards your salvation. No, Christ has already done all that work for you. In our text, Paul says that God has called you. He has chosen you. He forgives you, and he makes you holy and beloved. It's all Jesus' work. Your relationship with God has nothing to do with your obedience to the rules. It's based on God's grace alone, calling you to forgiveness, calling you to live a new life in him. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you now can put off that old life and put on the Christian life. In the preceding chapter, chapter 2 of Colossians, Paul points the Colossians to their baptism, where Jesus has raised them to new life, just as he has raised you to new life and forgives us of our sins. So here comes the peculiar question of the day. If your old filthy rags have been washed clean and made righteous in Christ in baptism, why would the Christian want to put those old filthy rags back on and live as that old man? Put on those filthy rags and parade down the street, giving the impression with your mouth that you are Christian, but to all who look, see your filth. It kind of reminds me, bear with me here, I grew up on a farm. I remember my dad coming back from the field after he hauled hog manure out into the field. And unless you've ever been up close and personal to a hog, you really don't appreciate the stench of hog manure. But Dad would come up from the barn, come into the house wearing his dirty rags covered in sweet hog sugar, and go straight down into the basement, take off his clothes, and wash. He would wash, put on clean clothes, and come back upstairs. The stench was gone. No hog farmer in their right mind would put on those dirty clothes. And so too it is for the Christian. St. Paul writes, in baptism you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. To the Galatians, he writes, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Christ has given you and calls you to a new life, to live a life that is pure, a life that is set apart from the world for his sake. For the sake of your neighbor, you put on your new clothes and serve the Lord. Paul writes to the Romans, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Remember, Jesus has already done all the work, but this is our loving response to our Savior. This is the Christian, how the Christian responds in living a God-pleasing life, all while anchored in faith in Jesus. Now, in our epistle text, Paul gives you examples on how God's chosen ones, those who are set apart, are to live their lives bearing Christian virtues. Paul says, put on compassion. The one who is compassionate is gracious to all people, regardless of what they look like, their credit score, their political affiliation, or what they have done. By his grace, Christ Jesus has had compassion on you, putting on the flesh of man, keeping God's law, dying on the cross in your place so that you might have life in his name. Paul says, put on kindness. Kindness gives to your neighbor in need without compulsion, without expecting anything in return, just as Christ willingly came and gave himself for you, giving himself into death, even though you didn't deserve it. Paul says, put on humility. Humility puts on the role of the servant, placing yourself below others, humble servants of God, caring for the needs of others, just as in his humiliation, Christ took on the role of a servant, humbling himself even to the point of death on a cross. Paul says, put on meekness. Meekness lets you confess that you are both sinner and saint among all the other sinners who betray you and sin against you, just as Christ was betrayed into the hands of sinners and put to death for your sinfulness. Paul says, put on patience. Patience perseveres under injustice without demanding retribution, just as Jesus did in his earthly ministry. Paul says, bear with one another. Dear Christians, we bear with one another by faith in Jesus, bearing each other's burdens, each other's griefs, just as Jesus bore your filthy rags and sins in his body. It is by his wounds you are healed. And finally, Paul says, forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven you. It's a tough one. But to forgive is to release others of any and all of their debts against you, whether they're in the past or in the present, whether they're real debts or imaginary debts, just as God in Christ Jesus forgives you. You see, the bottom line is the Christian life should bear fruits of repentance, fruits of Christian virtue. Again, make no mistake, Paul is not saying that the Christian faith and life are merely a matter of checking off the boxes and moral improvement. No, being dead in your trespasses, any improvement cannot take on your own behalf. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that you might improve. It's Christ working in you to conform you to his likeness. Paul says it quite eloquently to the Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Born unto you is a Savior. The name Jesus means Yahweh saves. As God incarnate, Christ came in the flesh and dwells among his people. He came for you and he gave himself for you to save you of your sins. And he has done all the work. In baptism, he has united you into his death. And if you have died in a death with Christ, you will certainly live a new life with him. He has chosen you and set you apart, and he has loved you through, God has loved you through his Son. And in this great love that he has for you, Christ make changes in your life so that you can become more like him. Christ putting on the flesh and dwelling among you was not a one-time thing in history, but he continues to dwell among his people, coming to you right here in word and sacrament. He came to you, bringing you to faith and the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, giving those gifts to you at the font. He comes to you in the preaching of his word, strengthening your faith and building your faith in him. And he comes to you personally in his body and blood in his Holy Supper. You see, just like in the days of Moses, in the days of Jesus, you have been consecrated. You have been consecrated from death into life through the blood of Christ Jesus, your true Passover lamb. You are a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. So whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.